Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You could also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search the Rob O'Donnell Show, and you can get our smart speakers. Just ask for the Rob O'Donnell Show or WILK News Radio, and it'll bring you right to it. It's 5:09, 69 degrees here on this Thursday, September 4th, 2025. Those storms are moving through our area. It's just going to be cloudy and cooler tonight. Oh, it's funny. Look at this. Scranton Times, this story that just came out at 2 o'clock today. Scranton installs high-visibility stop signs at crash-prone intersections. And there they are putting the stop sign in. And there you go, our mayor, or Scranton's mayor, Paige Gebhard Cognetti, there with her reflective vest on, cosplaying a public works worker. They are going above and beyond to push the mayor's campaign as well as her congressional run, it appears. Come on now. I mean, how obvious do you need to be? Do better, Times Tribune. Come on. But we'll balance that out here. I guess we have to, right? So it's funny. Scranton Mayor Paige Gebhard Cognetti at left watches as DPW workers Gene Reed wearing white helmet, Mike Egan kneeling, and Alex Manning at right install a new high visibility stop sign in South Webster Avenue at Gibbon Street on Thursday, September 4th, 2025. And there she is wearing her reflective yellow vest, cosplaying a public works worker. Interesting. Interesting. Maybe the news should ask, maybe the paper should ask why public works workers are under the clerical unit, or people who should be in the public works union under the clerical union, which has caused a grievance, and now I believe it's in some sort of advanced grievance stage. Those I don't know, the new workers they got. It's funny. Oh, let me go back to what I was going to talk about with now that distracted me. You see this big picture of a stop sign with the mayor of Scranton in a yellow vest, and it just distracts you into another direction. Listen, you want to cosplay a public work director. They don't have a public work director. That's right. They don't have a public works acting director either. Someone else is just mysteriously doing that job. I guess it's hard to find department heads for someone to work for such an administration. I saw this story out of the New York Post, and it brought me back to my time in New York. And this is a great story here. I actually knew this waitress, and I know the place very well. I did not know the story behind it. I knew parts of it, but not the whole thing. Secretly glam life of waitress who dated Tony Bennett, Frank Sinatra, Warren Beatty, and William Shatner while working in an iconic restaurant in New York City. There was a time when if you needed a good cheeseburger in Manhattan, Frank Sinatra could tell you where to get it and who should serve you. Tony Bennett would have agreed with him. Both Croners dated Pat Moore, a model-turned-waitress who was a superstar server at P.J. Clark's for some 45 years. Now, I knew Pat. Pat was an outstanding waitress. She was an outstanding person. She remembered you by name. This was one of my local hangouts when I worked in Midtown Manhattan as a police officer. And it's an Irish bar that had phenomenal food and good Guinness on tap, good drinks. And you had your A-listers pop in from time to time because they knew they wouldn't be bothered. She worked at P.J. Clark's for some 45 years. So did Warren Beatty, William Shatner, Tim Mara, and the New York Giants dynasty. A lot of New York Giants. Lawrence Taylor used to hang out here and come at P.J. Clark's. Moore, who died on August 15th, at the age of 89, is remembered as a woman who could make just about any customer, famous or not, fall in love with her, and often had the highest check average per shift to prove it. That's because family and friends say she treated everyone like they were a star, remembering their names and favorite orders. She absolutely did. This was our regular hangout. I was there at least one or two nights a week when we worked in Midtown Manhattan, and this was back in the late 80s, early 90s. There are certainly key people in this town that make it a small town. They recognize you when you come in. Brooke Kennedy, producer of The Good Wife, told The Post, "It takes a very specific personality to maneuver all these personalities and keep it going. People like Pat have a larger idea of who and what you are, even when you're Jackie Onassis. As for the rich and powerful men who wooed Moore, P.J. Clark's waitress Linda McInerney thinks she knows why they were drawn to her. She was the one thing not on the menu. They loved her beauty, but they could never get her. And they tried. She always played coy," McInerney said. "Maybe her reluctance to commit to any of them made them chase harder. There was something special between her and Tony Bennett," Clark's bartender. Jerry Biggs told The Post, he did a painting of her and would pop in to see her if she wanted to go for a drink across the street. He would sit at the bar and wait for her. She would go in to his concerts and he would serenade her on the stage. "I believe that Tony Bennett was the love of her life. At the time she was involved with Bennett in the 1960s, Moore was apparently so involved with Sinatra. Both were vying for her attention on the regular," McInerney said. "I think it overlapped somewhat. What a life it was in the Irish lass from the Bronx. Born Patricia Shavely, the daughter of firefighter and switchboard operator, she had a spark for adventure." She also was the cigarette girl in the movie The French Connection, where Gene Hackman shared a kiss with her. Appeared in print ads for everything from perfume to crackers, bras, and whiskey. She wed a fellow model, Gene Watts, in the 1950s and had a son, Sean. And the reason I bring this back is a couple of reasons. PJ was a phenomenal place. It was a place where PJ Clark's was a place where we were always welcome. I worked in the District 1, which was right at Columbus Circle. And this was in our area, and we used to go there after work. We used to have some of our holiday parties there during one of the World Cups that were in the New York area. We ended up hanging out there with our friends from Ireland. And again, the staff there was phenomenal. And it's one of those places where no matter who you were, famous or not, and like I said, Lawrence Taylor used to go in there. The A-list people used to go in there. People from Saturday Night Live used to go in there all the time. People who were going on Late Night Show with David Letterman, which was right down the corner from this, used to pop in before or after their show with David Letterman. they were left alone. They could go in there, they could get a booth, they could get something to eat, they could have a drink, and it's not like it is today where you'd be swarmed with paparazzi or you'd be swarmed with fans looking to sign something. And being the blue-collar establishment that it was, your Irish pub, but in Midtown Manhattan, it was just a home away from home for a lot of us. But to hear the story, knowing, having seen her many times and knowing her by name, you know, I knew she dated a lot of people like Frank Sinatra, and I knew she was friends with Tony Bennett. You knew she was in there, never bragged about it or anything, but treated everybody individually like they were a friend. And when I saw this story, it just brought back a lot of memories. And there were pictures of her on the walls of some of her print ads. She did perfume. Intimate was the name of the perfume she did, Revlon perfume. And a bunch of – she did a whiskey print ad that we used to break her chops on because it wasn't a very popular whiskey at the time. But Ambassador Scotch was the one she did. I don't give a scotch was the picture. I don't give Ambassador. I don't give a scotch. So that was her print ad there. But it was interesting – just someone you knew as your waitress and the place you hung out in. This was our Cheers when we were in District 1 down there. And from the owner to the bartender to the waitresses, they were all just top shelf. And it was just one of those places where you knew somebody famous would come in and no one really cared. So that was something else. Just brought back a lot of memories of a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I guess. But it's a shame to hear that she passed. I mean, lived a phenomenal life. Apparently, what did it say? She died at 89 on August 15th. Died at 89. That's a life anyone can ask for. And, man, looks like she enjoyed it a lot. And still worked on her feet. Worked on her feet. For a long time. She worked there 45 years at PJ Clark's. 45 years. And was beautiful the day she left. There's pictures of her here in the New York Post, still standing behind the bar at PJ Clark's. And even in her 70s, it appears here, or early 80s, just a beautiful woman. So Godspeed to her, and again, brought back a lot of memories, which is why I shared it with you guys. It's 5:20 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show, and I just want to thank our show sponsors, Whitman Lawn Care. Breathe new life into your lawn. Call Whitman Lawn Care today and let your lawn thrive from the ground up. You can visit them at whitmanlawncare.com, and I appreciate their sponsorship. So moms' careers and personal time are hit hard by school drop-off demands, a poll finds. When Elizabeth Rivera's phone would ring during the overnight shift, it was usually because the bus didn't show up again for one of her three kids needed a ride to school. After leaving early from her job at a Houston-area Amazon warehouse several times, Rivera was devastated but not surprised when she was fired. "Right now I'm kind of depressed about it," said Rivera, 42. "I'm depressed because of the simple fact that it's kind of hard to find a job, and there's bills I have to pay. But at the same time, the kids have to go to school." Rivera is far from the only parent forced to choose between their job and the kids' education, according to a new poll conducted by the Associated Press NORC Center Public Affairs Research and Hop Skip Drive, a company that relies on artificial intelligence and a network of drivers using their own vehicles to help school districts address transportation challenges. "Most parents drive their children to school," a survey found, "and those responsibilities can have a major impact. About one-third of parents say taking their kids to school has caused them to miss work. According to the poll, roughly 3 in 10 say they have been prevented from seeking or taking work opportunities, and 11% say school transportation has even caused them to lose a job. Mothers are especially likely to say school transportation needs have interfered with their job opportunities." Well, there's a couple of things at play here when you look into this. First of all, why is your school transportation so unreliable? That would be a school board issue. That would be a school administration issue. And that's something that needs to be taken care of. If getting your kids to and from school is a school responsibility, which it is for most of our areas here. We have school buses that pick up our kids and bring them to school. Transportation contracts cost the taxpayer a lot of money. Will that responsibility be taken seriously by the school districts, by the school boards, to ensure that their transportation is reliable so parents don't need to take off from school to make sure their kids go back and forth? It's as simple as that, right? Holding your school boards accountable to have reliable transportation isn't difficult, even though that things do happen. Buses do break down. There needs to be contingency plans for that, where a bus replaces the bus that's broken down. There needs to be contingency plans for people who work, and that goes for everybody at work. That goes for anyone who has school-age children. Your child gets sick at school. A nurse calls you and says you have to pick your kid up. Well, there's very little choices for a lot of people. When we moved here, our family wasn't here. When I moved from New York City to Long Island, we had no one near us out there. It was us, my wife and I. And, you know, either somebody had to take off or someone had to make arrangements to deal with it because we had three kids. It's part of the fact of having children, and that doesn't go away. And that doesn't mean that anyone's at an advantage or disadvantage. It's just the way it is. Some people have large families that live around them and have alternatives. Some people have grandparents that live in the house that pick up a lot of the duties when it comes to, you know, child care and emergencies, such like that. A lot of people don't. We were one of those families that didn't. We didn't never had family near us wherever we lived. That being said, there's also a responsibility that we entrust our tax dollars to a school district to ensure their operations work seamlessly and have redundant plans in place when something does go wrong, so it does not affect and impact personal lives, such as being fired from your job because your school's bus is not showing up when it's supposed to. So this is not just a, hey, you know, moms are losing their job because, first of all, it's kind of interesting that they just don't say parents, it's moms. So I look at this survey as kind of tainted to begin with, because most of the time, just because of the arrangements that we had, I was the one that left a lot of times to deal with things for my kids when something happened at school, when they either got sick or need to be picked up or were injured or whatever the case may be, or school bus didn't show up. So I wonder why this is just leaning towards to make it seem like, well, you know, moms are getting fired from their jobs or moms can't find jobs because of the duties when it comes to kids in school. Well, first of all, those duties should be shared. Are they shared? Why isn't the survey reflect that? I see plenty of both moms and dads picking up and dropping off their kids at school, need be. I see plenty of moms and dads, even on my own road, walking their kids to the bus stop in front of their house to have the buses pick up their kids. So, again, there's multiple problems here when it comes to this survey. Most parents drive their kids to school, the survey found. Is that even true? Do most parents drive their kids? I know a lot of parents choose to drive their kids to school, and schools are starting to make that a little more difficult by design. Because they just don't have the infrastructure for the roads to be all jammed up with lines of cars. And I know a lot of schools have had to make do and time restraints on when people can and can't pick up kids or drop off kids at school. But even here in the article, it says transportation burden falls heavier on moms. Mothers are most often the ones driving their children to and from school, with 68% saying the typical take on the task, compared with 57% of fathers. Well, that number, that math doesn't math. 68% say the typical on the rack compared to 57% of fathers. Most mothers, 55%, say they have missed work or have lost jobs or were kept from personal and professional opportunities because of school transportation needs, compared with 45% of dads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it looks like some moms and dads need to have a better understanding about sharing responsibilities for their children as well. But what do I know? I'm just the parent of three children who have done pretty well in life. And again, that's only partially because of me and a 30-year marriage. But I digress. It's 5:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 536, 71 degrees. Well, the Powerball jackpot has jumped to $1.7 billion after another night without a big winner. The next drawing will be Saturday night, with the prize expected to be the third largest in U.S. lottery history. Well, I don't know, Jake, but if I win $1.7 billion, there will be signs. There will be signs.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll be doing the show from the infield at Daytona or something like that. Actually, my life wouldn't change all that much. It really wouldn't, except for a few things. People around me's life would change, though. But just like any major Powerball or big lottery jackpot, you know, once it gets into the billions, we're obliged to talk about it, I guess. I don't normally play lotto, but I have texted or we'll pick up a ticket or so. And by that, I mean I'll play one or two games. I'm not one of these big lotto players. People play it religiously. It would be nice, though. A lot of good could be done. Hopefully someone who deserves it wins it. But since May 31st, there have been 41 straight drawings without a big winner. Next drawing is Saturday night with the, again, prize expected to be the third largest in U.S. lottery history. Now, Powerball's terrible odds are 1 in 292.2 million are designed to generate big jackpots, with prizes becoming even larger as they repeatedly roll over with no winners. Lottery officials note that the odds are far better for games with much smaller prizes. There are three drawings each week. The estimated $1.4 billion jackpot from Wednesday's night drawing would have been for a winner who had opted to receive 30 payments over 29 years through an annuity. Winners are almost always choose the game's cash option, which have been an estimated $634.3 million. So the jackpot then was $1.4 billion. The winner only gets $634.3 million. The rest goes to taxes. The cash option for Saturday night's drawing is an estimated $770 million. Powerball ticket costs $2, and the game is offered in 45 states plus Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. So make sure you get your Powerball tickets That's all I can say. Got to be in it to win it, right? That's the motto they say. I guess so. See, I play it down, but it would be nice to win. But again, not much change. I would keep where I live, get a second home. Don't know if I'd be here, maybe. Don't know if they'd let me be here. I'd probably think I'd be too dangerous, which I may be, or maybe just buy the station, right? Let Jake DJ the rock station next door. There you go. Now we're thinking, Jake. We're on it. Do a weekend sports show.
I like the sound of it.
Right? We got everything going on here. It's 5:40 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather and together again. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show as we start to wrap things up here at on this Thursday, September 4th, 2025, 5:45, 68 degrees. That temperature has gone down. It was 78 when the show started, now 68. So I got some text messages in, not Tex-Mex, although I could deal with some Tex-Mex too, but text messages in. Individuals said, luckily I'm salaried in a management position. I'm able to do all the doctor appointments and nurse calls. My wife works at a local hospital, would definitely get fired with our two kids between extracurriculars, dentists and extracurricular activities, dentists and everything else. Wilkes-Barre area grade middle school just gave parents a few days notice that the start and finish times have changed. They are starting 15 minutes earlier and about 20 minutes later for some classes. If you pick up, there is much as a half-hour gap if you have more than one child. See, that's a problem, and that's something that these schools need to take into consideration. Yeah, it's easy to say, hey, we're just going to change things for our schedule, but you have to realize you're dealing with, you know, hundreds of parents' schedules as well, and you just can't, a few days' notice, say, hey, we just changed everything. Because a lot of people are picking their schedule or redefining their schedule based on commitments they have to drop their kids off or pick their kids up. Some people are picking hours if they're part-time employees or even arranging hours later on that there. So there's been a meeting with the European Union and representatives from the United States. It says 26 countries pledged troops as a reassurance force for Ukraine after the fighting ends. Well, it's a good thing that they're deciding that there is going to be an after the fighting ends. Earlier Thursday, Macron and other European leaders met with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and the U.S. envoy for peace talks, Steve Witkoff. French President Emmanuel Macron said Thursday that 26 Ukraine's allies have pledged to deploy troops as a reassurance force for the war-torn country once fighting ends in the conflict with Russia. Macron spoke after a meeting in Paris of the so-called Coalition of the Willing, a group of 35 countries who support Ukraine. He said that 26 of the countries had committed to deploying troops in Ukraine or to maintaining a presence on land, at sea, or in the air to help guarantee the country's security the day after the ceasefire of peace is achieved. So this is pre-planning for after peace is achieved. That being said, just today it was reported that Russia is massing 100,000 troops in a certain area along the border of Ukraine, unsure if they're expecting an incursion or expecting a new aggression front in that area, but it does not seem like good news for peace talks. Earlier Thursday morning, Macron and European leaders met with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and the U.S. envoy for peace talks, Steve Witkoff, to discuss ways of ensuring long-term military support and continued American backing of the Ukraine once the conflict ends. Zelensky also held closed-door meeting with Witkoff. I believe he also had a phone call today with the president. Macron said in a news conference along Zelensky, and the reassurance force does not have the will or the objective of waging war with Russia, but it will aim to prevent any new major aggression and to involve the 26 states very clearly in the lasting security of Ukraine. Though details of any U.S. participation in the security guarantees remain unclear, both Macron and Zelensky said Washington had expressed willingness to be part of the plan, and the Ukrainian president said that he was grateful about that. As for in what format, I am not ready to tell you the details, Zelensky said. Well, I think American boots on the ground would be a non-starter for a lot of things. That being said, we have allied bases all around the world. It does not mean that we will be boots on the ground standing posts along the Russian-Ukraine border, but I could see American military training facilities in Ukraine. I could see bases like we have in Russia, like we have in Italy, like we have in Spain, like we have in a lot of places. So it would be no different than that. It would obviously be spun as boots on the ground, but again, we have boots on the ground in Italy. We have boots on the ground in Greece. We have boots on the ground in Germany. We have boots on the ground pretty much everywhere in Europe. So why not some sort of military presence in a base in Ukraine in a minimal, possibly training capacity? Obviously, we are providing material support to Ukraine, and that would continue. So it could just mean that. But as far as actually taking the duty of protecting Ukraine, I think that would be a long far, just like our bases in Spain and Italy, Greece and Europe don't protect those countries. It's just our presence and bases in there for our global reach. It would be no different with Ukraine. So it's interesting there. The Finnish president, Alexander Stubb, told Finnish media that in a phone conversation with European leaders, Trump emphasized the need to put economic pressure on Russia and said Europe must stop buying Russian oil and gas that he said was funding the war. This is one of the people here in America, our media, our press, talk often about why isn't the Trump administration stepping up sanctions on Russia? We could easily do that. But why would we do that if Europe is not only not creating their own sanctions, but they're actually supporting Russia's movements by purchasing their oil? So the Trump administration is saying, hey, you want more action from us as far as sanction goes. Why don't you guys start leading from the front as well and stop buying Russian oil and gas that's funding this war? If Europe stops purchasing oil and gas from Russia, they become bankrupt very quickly. This is one of their only sources of revenue going into Russia, outside of illicit arms sales and other nonsense that they do with third world terrorist organizations. But that's, again, not here. So when people say, well, why aren't we taking the next step in sanctions that we could put on Russia? Well, okay, we could. But why would we if European countries are actually purchasing stuff from Russia and able to circumvent any sanction that we place? So unless they're going to do their part, it's hard for us to do our part. Now, Trump stressed that Russia received $1.1 billion in fuel sales from the EU in 1 year. According to White House officials, Trump also emphasized that European leaders must place economic pressure on China for indirectly funding Russia's war efforts, according to the official, who was not authorized to comment on public policy because of the technicalities of the talks. So it looks like there's positive signs for what happens once the war does end. It's a matter of getting us to that war end. And you have to ask yourself, if Europe has such a poignant stake in what happens with Russia's aggression, why are they helping to fund it? Why are they helping? Because cheap oil and gas. They are buying cheap oil and gas from Russia, so they're willing to look the other way. But then at the other side of their mouth say that they want this aggressive action to stop. And then we're left in the middle saying, well, what are you going to do, America? Well, we'll do our part when you start doing your part. It's as simple as that. Before we go today, let me tell you about Monk Heating and Air Conditioning. I've got a lot to tell you about them. I've just met with them just last week, this amazing team at Monk Heating and Air Conditioning, about getting a brand new Mitsubishi electric heat pump system installed. Comfort is their business, and trust me, they mean it. We talked about everything, energy savings, year-round comfort, and the latest technology that keeps your home cozy in the winter and cool in the summer. The whole process was super easy. Rob Monk came to my house, scanned every room, took measurements, figured out exactly what size units I need for each of my downstairs areas, what the size unit handler he needed outside. And again, this Mitsubishi equipment is top of the line, which was one of my main concerns here. So if you're looking about upgrading your comfort, reach out to Monk Heating and Air Conditioning today at monkhvac.com. You can tell them I sent you. They are Mitsubishi Diamond Elite Contractors, trained premier comfort specialist, 24/7, 365-day service, Cool Club membership plans, winter water heaters, same day if something goes wrong. And again, the family-run business. Their name is literally the business, Monk Heating and Air Conditioning. Jim, Rob, Taylor, Lauren, they've served the community with great service, and they've seen it all. They know how to do the job right, and I can't wait to get this installed, especially with those cooler mornings coming down the pike for us. So check them out at monkhvac.com, and again, tell them I sent you. It is 5:56 here at WILK. We'll be back to close out the show in just. Well, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today. Let me just check the text messages here. It says, Rob, kids sports are another issue. Many of the sports give little to no notice about changes in schedules or decide to have practice out of nowhere, and usually the parents have to scramble to get their kids there. Believe me, I know. Three kids. Most of my kids were three-sport kids, so we're bouncing from football to track to you name it. To soccer, to swimming, to gymnastics, to we had it all, to lacrosse, to basketball. We did it all. And yes, a lot of times, especially in youth sports, it all depended on the coach's schedule. And that's what they tried to work around themselves. And, you know, the team had to work around that coach because you had a volunteer coach who was giving their time. And, you know, it's just the way it works. So I hear you. But listen, parenting is not an easy task. It never has been, and it never will be. The bigger support structure you have, the easier it may be for you, but it's not for everybody the same experience. Like I said, we grew up, we never had family around us. It was pretty much on our own, so we had to make do. One person had to sacrifice, the other person did what they needed to do, and that's the balancing act. That is parenting, and it never changes. Believe me, my kids are all grown and out of the house now, and it's still doesn't change. Oh, hoping it does one day. Now we got grandkids. It's even double now, but then I can give them back and say, not my issue. Here you go. Well, tomorrow's Friday, so that's a good thing. Weekend is ahead of us. It doesn't look like a bad weekend. It's not a washout. It doesn't look like it's anything crazy. I was hoping to head down to Annapolis for my first Navy football game with an 81% chance of showers. Saturday in Annapolis, it looks like I will be home and I will be doing the chores that I need to do around here. So that being said, you guys be nice to each other. Take some time. It is going to be a cool evening. If you're out and about, it looks like the rain showers are still in the area. Just drive carefully. Been a lot of accidents lately in our area. A lot of head-on collisions, a lot of things happening as far as car accidents. Be extra cautious. Just know for whatever reason it's happening. Take your time. We will get to where we're going without rushing and getting crazy. So just be careful out there because your safety means everything. God bless, be safe, and we will see you tomorrow on Friday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.